Welcome to the Met for Kids.
Okay, thanks very much for downloading this audio tour. My name's Lindsay.
And I'm Simone.
We'll be your hosts for this tour and the exhibition highlights. Now, before we begin, make sure you've got all the things that you'll need. You'll need a map. That's important. You can get one of those at the information desk. Once you've got your map and you're all set, headphones on, let's take a tour.
The Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City has come to Brisbane, and we are very excited to take you on a tour of this fantastic exhibition. Did you know that the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City is one of the biggest museums in the world?
Did you know that New York City is sometimes referred to as Gotham? Na 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 Batman!
No, Lindsay, not the Gotham City in the Batman movies.
My bad, sorry Simone. This name was first used about New York City in 1807. But the legend attached to it goes back hundreds of years to the story of the English King John, who wanted to build himself a hunting lodge in the village of Gotham. But the villagers didn't want to pay the taxes. So when the king's men came, they pretended to be crazy, running wildly around in circles. And the king decided to build somewhere else. Thus, Gotham came to mean a city of wise and cunning people.
The Met was built in the late 1800s, more than 100 years ago. The idea of building a grand museum for everyone to enjoy was part of the exciting new changes that were transforming cities like New York City into modern metropolises. For a long time, tall buildings were banned in Australian cities. But in other places, cities were growing upwards with skyscrapers and outwards with new suburbs. People were excited about cars and trains, electric lights, new industries, and amazing inventions that were changing the way people lived, worked, and played. There was more time than ever before for city dwellers to enjoy new kinds of entertainment.
The American artists in this exhibition are known as Impressionists and Realists. For many artists, the studio could be anywhere. The paintings you're about to see capture the excitement of city life and the new era of leisure where city dwellers could escape to the beach and the countryside.
The audio tour will introduce you to 8 paintings in the exhibition. To find out more, make sure you also collect an activity trail and read all the children's labels as we go through the rooms of the exhibition. Are you ready? Let's go to the city!
Stop 2. Cities. John Sloan, Dust Storm, Fifth Avenue. Artist John Sloan painted Dust Storm, Fifth Avenue in 1906. He liked to paint pictures of the gritty streets of New York. Let's look at how he created the commotion and chaos of the storm.
It looks like the huge dark cloud is heading straight towards us.
Ah, and we can see the wind bending the tree branches.
Everyone's running across the bottom of the painting, holding onto their hats.
Can you see the car driving in another direction?
The car seems to be causing even more panic on the street.
We can imagine people were still used to the slower pace of horses and buggies. And cars like this one honking and speeding up and down the street would have given many people a fright.
Can you see the tall triangular-shaped building soaring high in the centre of the painting? That's the Flatiron Building built in 1902. It's 23 stories high, and it was the first skyscraper in New York City.
On summer days, blasts of wind would swirl around the Flatiron Building, stirring up dust from the dirt roads. Because the artist lived close by, he would often see these legendary dust storms caused by the Flatiron.
John Sloan has cleverly captured the fearful feelings that people were experiencing at this time. The pace of life in the cities was becoming much faster, and it was hard to keep up with the changes.
Before we leave the room, read the children's labels and find out how other artists painted their impressions of the city. Now it's time to travel overseas, just like many of the artists did in this exhibition.
Stop 3. The Countryside Abroad. Theodore Robinson. A Bird's Eye View, 1889. Isn't this a great view of the countryside?
Oh, we can imagine that we're like birds flying over the fields and the rooftops.
Oh, look, down below you can see the French village Giverny. Giverny is just a short train ride from Paris. And American artist Theodore Robinson, who was studying art in Paris, visited this village and decided to live there.
While in Giverny, Theodore became good friends with one of the villagers, the famous French impressionist artist Claude Monet. Claude Monet discovered this village a few years earlier while on a trip looking out of a train window.
Theodore Robinson spent quite a bit of time with Monet and learnt some impressionist painting techniques, which you can see in this painting.
Look at the sky, painted with quick brushstrokes and colours of the landscape. The soft purples, light greys and milky browns. These are some of the colours that the Impressionists used when they painted outdoors.
Look closely at the trees and the ploughed fields. Can you see the flock of white birds? What time of year do you think it is?
Today, hundreds of thousands of tourists visit Giverny every year to see the countryside made famous by Claude Monet and the many painters like Theodore Robinson who came here to capture the beauty of the seasons and the light. Perhaps you will visit one day too.
Artists were interested in painting the countryside at home too. Let's go and see some of these paintings in the next room.
Stop 4. The countryside at home. Child Hassam. The Water Garden, 1909. New York artist Child Hassam painted this beautiful Japanese water garden while staying with friends and artists in East Hampton, which is still a popular seaside spot near New York City, for the well-to-do ooh-la-di-da.
At this time, all things from Japan were the latest craze in the United States, Europe and Australia as well. People went to see amazing displays to find out more about Japan at the big expositions in the cities of Chicago, San Francisco and Melbourne. And many Impressionist painters were interested in Japanese art.
French Impressionist painter Claude Monet created an incredible Japanese garden at his home in Giverny. He loved it so much he spent 27 years painting different views of his garden. When you look at Child Hassam's painting of the water garden, do your eyes sweep over the flower buds from one side of the painting to the other?
Often artists place the most important part of the painting in the middle of the picture and our eyes are led to the centre. But in this painting, the whole painting is interesting to look at. See if you can find the water lily flowers, the little Japanese bridge, and the cluster of purple flowers called irises.
Before you leave, make sure you see Child Hassam's friend Ruger Donohoe's painting called Windflowers in this room.
Stop 5. At leisure, Maurice Prendergast, Picnic by the Inlet, circa 1918 to 1923. Artist Maurice Prendergast was good friends with the Australian artist Charles Conder. They both painted many pictures of people enjoying their free time outdoors. Prendergast painted men, women and children strolling in parks, along the beach and travelling the city streets.
Maurice always wanted to be an artist and spent any moment he could sketching when he was young. And like many of the painters in this exhibition, he went to Paris to study art and learn from other artists.
We know he was inspired by some of the artists of his time because of his daring use of bright colours and bold brushstrokes. He was also interested in children's drawings.
Do you like to have picnics with your friends and family? In this picture, the artist has painted a very happy scene of lots of people gathered together for a picnic in a great spot under the trees by the water. How many people can you see in the painting?
Can you find the puppy dog?
The artist has arranged all the people in different positions doing different things to make an interesting painting.
The painting is about a picnic, and it's also about the arrangement of colours and shapes and how they work together. The harmony and balance of the colours and shapes remind us of the colourful patterns we can see in a tapestry.
Walk around the room and see how other artists painted people enjoying their free time. Don't miss Prendergast's Australian artist friend Charles Conder's painting of Holiday at Mentone. Stop 6. Studios and Portraits. Louis Cronberg. The Pink Sash, 1913.
Artist Louis Cronberg is very well known for his paintings of the ballet. In this painting called The Pink Sash, the artist has pictured a beautiful young dancer getting ready to perform backstage in the dressing room. The ballerina stands tall with her back to us before a mirror, which is a clever idea of the artist because we can see her face. Can you imagine how she's feeling? Her hair is done and she holds her arm up while the older lady stoops over to tie the pink sash. She's just about ready.
Hey, but wait, Simone. Did you know the artist didn't actually go to the theatre and set up his paints and easel to paint this dancer? He painted all of his pictures in his art studio. To help with the planning of his pictures, Louis had a little portable stage built which was a miniature version of the Boston Theatre. He also had a stash of little puppet dolls which he would dress up in the colours of the costumes and arrange in different poses and positions on the stage. Later, he would invite the real dancers to be his models to complete the pictures. The older lady in this painting was also one of the artist's models, and she was good friends with the dancers too. She called the girls dressed in their tutus butterflies.
You'll see more paintings by artists interested in portraying women in the next room. Let's go! Stop 7, Women's Lives, Agnes Goodseer, Cherry, 1925.
Australian artist Agnes Goodseer painted this portrait of her good friend Cherry. At this time, not many women who wanted to be successful artists had the chance to travel to Paris to study art. Agnes enjoyed her new life in Europe so much she never came back to live in Australia.
She won awards and medals for her paintings and became well known for her portraits in London and Paris. She also painted a number of portraits of famous people, as well as many paintings of her friend Rachel Dunn, nicknamed Cherry.
The atmosphere in this portrait seems very still and peaceful. There are no bold brushstrokes and the colours are quiet, except for the bright ribbon on Cherry's dress. Do you think the ribbon trimming frames her face?
The calm expression on Cherry's face makes us think that perhaps she's been sitting and keeping still for a long time.
How long do you think you could keep still for?
Did you see that there are two teacups on the table?
We can imagine Cherry and Agnes having a long afternoon tea together. Cherry reading while Agnes paints.
Perhaps listening to music playing on the gramophone, a new invention of the time.
You can see another painting of Cherry in this exhibition. See if you can find her and read all about her bobbed haircut in your art trail. Stop 8. Children. Frank W. Benson. Children in Woods, 1905.
Artist Frank W. Benson, like many of his fellow painters, was excited about the idea of painting outdoors. At his country home, surrounded by forest, he set up his easel and oil paints in the field and painted this beautiful picture of his three daughters, Eleanor, Elizabeth and Sylvia.
Oh, it looks like a lovely place to spend an afternoon, doesn't it?
The sunlight shines through the trees and spills over their long white dresses.
The artist has painted the dresses and hair ribbons and trees with quick brush strokes, catching the feel of a gentle breeze and the beautiful light streaming through the branches overhead.
The girls are in a circle sitting on soft green grass. What games do you think they might be playing together?
As we look at this lovely scene of the artist's family enjoying their retreat away from the hustle and bustle of the city, it's easy to imagine that life was like this for everyone, but that was not the case. Children whose families had very little money went to work in the many of the mills, mines, quarries, and canneries at the time.
Spend some time in this room and see how other artists painted children. You'll see lots of pretty white dresses, as they were the latest fashion for children in the late 1800s and early 1900s. Stop 9. Other leading masters. Thomas Aikens, the artist's wife and his setter dog, circa 1884 to 1889.
This portrait is by one of America's leading artists, Thomas Aikens. He started this painting of Susan Hannah McDowell just after they had gotten married. Usually, a portrait is commissioned by an artist. This means the person pays the artist to paint a picture of them, but Thomas Aikens wasn't interested in this idea.
He liked to choose who he would paint and how he would paint them. Thomas Aikens preferred to paint people as they really were, warts and all, even his young bride.
Look at his wife's pale face and the way she's sitting in the chair. The dog lying at her feet lacks energy too.
It's quite a dark room, and the artist has painted the furniture in shades of brown.
Does it feel like a place you would be happy in?
The only patches of brightness in the painting are the beautiful shimmery effects of Susan's long silk dress and the look in his wife's eyes.
We can imagine that she is deep in thought as she stares out at us. Have you ever caught yourself in the mirror while you were thinking?
Thomas Aikens was well known for his special ability to capture people in the act of thinking in his portraits. Lindsay, what do you think his wife could be thinking about?
Oh, there's so many things, so many thoughts. But unfortunately, Simone, that's the end of the tour. But there's more for you to see and do. Visit the Met for Kids at the Pelican Pool Lounge and explore the exhibition theme of leisure and entertainment. You can watch animations from the 1920s and draw your favourite activities at Fun and Games.
Have fun!